I am the project manager for the Common Ground Experience. Through Common Ground, a grant funded by the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, the grantees learn tools for collaboratively identifying requirements for information systems using business process analysis. The importance of the project, however, goes far beyond implementation of large-scale information systems. Collaboration and documentation of business workflows helps health departments to gain a better understanding of their processes and identify opportunities for improvement. Including your staff in the public health departments to collaboratively identify the processes leads to greater ownership and adoption of those changes once implemented. This session will actually share one of the tools created as a result of the collaborative to explain the preparedness requirements documents and its interconnected aspects. This tool became the frame of reference for business processes that lead to the definition of requirements. Okay. So a little bit of background on the Common Ground Experience. This map displays the actual grantees that were awarded. We have in the green diagrams, the green little bullets are our preparedness grantees, and in the blue are our chronic disease grantees. For the purpose of this presentation, we're going to focus on the preparedness grantees. That includes Children's Hospital Corporation, Health Research Incorporation of New York, State of Maine Department of Health and Human Services, the Marion County of Indiana, the Metro Public Health Department, which Jim is a part of Nashville and Davidson County, and the Spokane Regional Health District. So what were the Common Ground three program goals? Awareness about the need to apply informatics principles and collaborative requirements development methodologies to information systems. Increased capacity of public health agencies to be more effective and efficient in their business processes, and to have a wide adoption, implementation, and endorsement of redesigned business processes and requirements definitions for information systems that support public health preparedness and chronic disease programs. Luckily for us today, we have a grantee that's here from the Metro Public Health Department from Nashville. His name is Jim Jellison, and he will describe the collaborative project, the tools that evolved due to that work, and some of the lessons and benefits learned.
Thank you, Nikki. In February 2007, six Common Ground grantee teams met to collaboratively define preparedness business processes and information systems requirements. But before we could do that, we first needed to define preparedness. To do that, we used the an all-hazards perspective that's encouraged by many planning frameworks, as well as the CDC's Cooperative Agreement for Public Health Emergency Preparedness circa 2006. And what resulted from that interpretation was a broad understanding of public health preparedness that would ultimately yield many processes. We're utilizing a Public Health Informatics Institute collaborative requirements definition methodology. It specifies three phases: a business process analysis, redesign, and then requirements definition. For our purposes at the beginning with business process analysis, we use some standard tools and techniques from that field to begin to brainstorm and scope out a number of potential public health preparedness business processes. Now, we narrowed it down to, I think, about 20 or so, and then moved on to the redesign stage. With redesign, what informed that discussion, I think, was some consideration of the changing context of public health given information technology and public health emergency preparedness. Currently, we are in a requirements definition stage, and what's emerging from that are some systems neutral, high-level requirements that describe what we believe the state and local public health workforce wants out of their information systems for emergency preparedness. But as we moved into redesign, we felt that a number of these processes were just, there was too much isolation among our processes, and if we were going to truly address public health preparedness, we needed to make sure that these processes, you know, talked to each other, that there was an integrated collection of processes that together addressed public health preparedness. So we came up with a tool that we're continuing to use. We call it the Business Process Interdependencies Diagram to define those explicit relationships among processes. And I don't know how well you can read that in the back at all. Is this clear at all? No? Yes? Okay. Well, fine. Let me describe this diagram. The small boxes here represent our, at my own risk here, I might emerge from the podium, but these smaller boxes represent the public health emergency preparedness processes that we're working on. For each one of these, we've got a number of diagrams and artifacts and text-based descriptions of what the objectives and inputs and outputs and tasks associated with those processes are. And what we've done is organize them across a couple different dimensions. At the top, we have a pre-incident area, and then in the middle, incident, and at the end, post-incident. And those are intended to help orient you in terms of their temporal relationship to an incident. It's a guide, though, so it's a model, so you have to approach it that way. And we've also organized the processes in terms of function. So at the far left, we have this prepare function group with processes that you generally conduct pre-incident in preparation for an emergency. Then next, going across the bottom there, we have a monitor collection, and those generally describe passive public health surveillance systems. Syndromic surveillance, notifiable disease surveillance, environmental surveillance, et cetera. Next is an investigation collection, your standard outbreak investigations or environmental health investigations would fit in there, as well as active surveillance. We felt that was just more of an ad hoc investigative process. Following that is an area I'm going to come back to. That's our intervene process group. And those are the actual, you know, the public health, the actions a public health agency might take to in response to an acute emergency. Finally, recover, which would address things like mental health, restoration and demobilization, reimbursements for your FEMA reimbursements, and monitoring long-term after effects associated with an incident. Let me just it's important to point out this is we're using a collaborative requirements definition methodology. So each one of these processes includes public health stakeholders and partners like your local emergency management, fire, you know, if you're local, the state would be involved. They're all in our process workflow diagrams. All those entities are mapped out and with their functions and tasks described. So we're trying to capture the totality of public health emergency preparedness from the state and local health department perspective. What I'd like to do here, maybe the mouse might be, yeah, let me try the mouse. So let's take a hypothetical, at a high level, let's take a hypothetical situation just to guide us through this diagram. We address your standard notifiable disease surveillance activities. So say that picks up an unusually high number of reportable conditions that may indicate a bioterrorism attack or incident, that feeds up to a develop and report situational information process. Now, we took a shortcut with this diagram to make it more digestible, but each of these individual processes has a number of inputs and outputs that connect it to other processes. We've diagrammed it for the purposes of presentation. We've diagrammed it at a relatively high level. So we have one blue line coming out of the top of monitor. In this instance, this could be your notifiable disease case reports going out to a develop and report situational information process. That process would generate a situational report that drives the subsequent response plan. That response plan drives whatever investigation you're going to conduct or whatever intervention you are going to implement. All these activities then feed back status reports or that type of information back again to develop and report situational information. So there's a feedback loop there that's capturing what's going on and driving the next stage of your response. Informing that response are your pre-incident preparations. There's a number of them. They all tend to roll up into the process that creates and maintains your all-hazards plan. So that all-hazards plan also informs the more specific response plan. Finally, manage resources, again, gets to making assignments and deploying and deployment. Okay. With this manage function group, this was an element of, I'm going to talk about some of the challenges we had with the analysis and particularly at the first stage with the analysis. The grantee teams weren't all on the same page with the incident command system. Some, like Nashville, had intended to embrace it wholeheartedly. Others, not so much. So with the manage process group, what we're representing here is that in a complex incident, where you're juggling perhaps multiple investigations or multiple interventions, you're going to need to sort of outsource that management for a more overarching response. And by management, I include the situational information gathering, the incident action plan development, and the resource deployment. But the dotted line indicates that, in a sense, these are only invoked when necessary. A smaller, less complex incident is handled in process. So, for example, once you take a look at the conduct public health investigation task flow, you see specific tasks for just developing your outbreak investigation strategy. So that may be enough. That may be enough management for that particular incident. Another issue was communications. There was some understanding among many of the grantees that communications was a process, maybe the most important process to public health emergency preparedness. Others felt like it's not a discrete process. It's in all the processes. It connects them and undergirds the whole preparedness infrastructure. So, and we went around and around on that for quite some time. But what we've arrived at was, to the extent that communications is a discrete process where you're sending a discrete message to a partner in your response, that we're handling that with the alerting responders and stakeholders process over here as an aspect of intervention. But to the extent that you've just got a communications infrastructure, we're showing that it's more of a functional process down here that spans all our processes. Another quirk, if you will, is that you might see if you obtain a hard copy, is that we've got an assess organizational response capacity process, and we show that twice at the beginning in the prepare functional group and at the end in the recover group. I think that should be obvious. You do it immediately after an incident to assess that specific incident, but you also do it in a more general sense to prepare for incidents in general. So, This is a collaborative project. So what I mean by that is most of us are mostly happy with this diagram. I can't tell you all of us are 100%, you know, thrilled with it. I mean, there are some issues that we continue to discuss. The intervention area, and I haven't elaborated, but you know, if you can't read it, I'll just mention a couple. What we call administer medical countermeasures. In Nashville, we call those pods. So those are your pod activities. Isolation and quarantine, mass fatalities, sheltering operations, environmental investigations. Those are, or environmental responses. Those are in the intervene category. And we've presented the Common Ground Project has presented this work at other venues and conferences, and it seems the feedback we get is that people want a comprehensive picture of public health preparedness. And what that means for us is if we had unlimited funding and unlimited time, we would have an unending list of intervention processes, I suspect. Okay, but we do think that this process is, that this diagram is specific enough so that most public health workers can think about what they do and see how they would fit in to these processes if they're related to public health preparedness. But we also think it helps to explain how public health fits into emergency response in general with your partners at the Office of Emergency Management and those folks. But this particular artifact isn't something we set out to create. We just decided midstream, so to speak, that this is going to be very useful. So one of the lessons coming out of Common Ground is to be very flexible. And if you see a new tool that you think will help you achieve your goal, go ahead and at least consider adopting it. Some of the other lessons learned from this project, at least from Nashville's perspective, you know, I should mention each of these Common Ground grantees have a local project that they're working on, and in some respects, these local projects are like local implementations of some aspects of this overall diagram. What we're working on is relatively high level, and anybody who's interested in taking this Common Ground work and implementing it in their jurisdiction is going to have to get into some more technical details. Technical from an IT perspective and probably also political or cultural from the business process perspective. Another lesson learned, don't go broad and deep on this kind of activity. We tried to do both, I think, at the beginning, and that was troublesome. In my opinion, best to go broad and scope out as much as you can, and then with your time remaining, drill down into priority areas. But this generalized picture is we think very suitable for a wide audience. You know, Common Ground, one of the goal is to get broad acceptance from the public health community on business processes and system IT requirements. And you can't get down into the weeds and expect a community that large to agree to it. Let's see. Now, another lesson learned is, you know, we all love collaboration and comprehensiveness, in general or in theory anyway. But those types of things require quite a bit of time and funding and. A lot of times you're just not going to have those kind of luxuries to be as collaborative as you might like to be. As far as next steps, Nashville is taking what we're focusing on in Nashville is incident command system related processes, and particularly how they deal with resource deployment and pods. So in a sense, we've taken some of these down to a lower level to reflect the situation in Nashville. And we have a poster here that describes some of those activities in more detail. So I think we're out of time. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's all right. And I think you did say the handout that you've got in the back is of the diagram. Great. But we do have time for maybe one question. Does anybody have a question that they'd like to ask?
I have a question. Nikki, from the Public Health Informatics Institute's perspective, what do you think might be the next steps for Common Ground?
So we are completing the requirements phase at this point, and we do have requirements definitions that will be exposed for the common good, and we will disseminate those throughout the next several conferences that are coming up in the rest of this year. As far as the requirements, we hope that you will take them into your local health department, your state department, look at them and say, okay, which of these match our business processes and our workflows? Which of these could we isolate either into a RFP for a vendor, or which of these comprehensively explain what we do, therefore we could partner with other states or local entities to go as a group to a vendor and say, hey, build this for us. This is what we need, this is what we want, and this is what supports our workflow. So that you are not neutralized into only the existing vendors that are out there. So those are our hopes for the Common Ground initiative beyond this point. And of course, we do have some work group members here today. Raise your hand if you're here from the Common Ground experience. So after the other two presenters are finished today, if you have any other specific questions, feel free to reach out to any of us, and we'll be sure to share our business card and documents.
Okay, thank you.